Anybody else look at your life just as we sing that and think, man, how'd you do it, Lord? How did you make something beautiful out of this? And brother, sister, we're a blessed people. Amen. For God to be able to take us out of all the darkness we've come from, of all different paths of life. And here we are on fire for God, wanting to serve Him with all our heart. Something beautiful, isn't that right? Amen. Appreciate the special as well, Sister Laura. God bless you for that. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. No other place I'd rather be than in God's house. Well, on this side of eternity anyways. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to get right into the Word. If you can. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to start right at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. I'd like to stop right there again tonight and preach giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. Amen. With our heads bowed and our hearts also, being in His presence. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up to God as we approach His Word? God bless you, brother and sister. He hears every prayer, every need. Let's just pray and invite the Lord in our own special way to the service. Heavenly Father, we thank You for gathering us together in Your house tonight. Lord, we're grateful to know You as our Father. We're grateful to have a desire to even be in Your house, Lord. It's such an honor and a privilege to be Your son. It's a privilege to be part of that, of the cream of the crop of the world. What the world's not even worthy of, Lord, we're sitting in heavenly places with those brothers and sisters that I believe with all my heart will spend eternity with. Father, I pray as the Bible warned us, let us redeem the time tonight, Lord, knowing that it's not just another Wednesday night. It's not just another service. It's one more step closer to crossing the river and veil, to go into a realm where we'll never have to fret. We'll never have to worry. We'll never have to rush. We'll be in that heavenly peace forever, Lord. And may we lay aside every weight that besets us tonight. May we lay down every thought that would distract us from hearing Your voice. May our hearts be open. May they be pure. May they be clean by Your grace, Lord. And may You be able to speak to us freely. Commit the service into Your hands, Lord. May You be glorified. Be able to do as You would please. Meet every need that's on every heart, I pray, with all the sincerity I can muster. In Jesus Christ's precious name, I ask You. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Giving all diligence. I'm going to get into that here in a minute, but I want to, as I've said on Sunday, that I'm going to be backdropping to that thought over and over and over again, that, brother, sister, what I'm talking about is for those that's been born again of the Spirit of God, for those that have obtained like precious faith, not trying to go get it or earn it or work your way up to it or muster it somehow. There's no way of doing that. A man has to die. He has to die from his old self and be born again in Christ. If he's not born again in Christ, there's nowhere to start. There's no foundation, brother, sister. But if you can recognize Christ Jesus Himself is the rock of your salvation, then no matter what comes your way, that faith will hold the test of time. Man, some of us have tested that and we can show, yes, it holds, because it should have snapped. It should have broke. But there's one thing holds, and that's Christ. Amen. And once you've had that experience of the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is none other than the new birth, it brings you into a fellowship with Christ that Satan cannot take away from you. Amen. You can't take it away. It's eternal. God has sealed it. He's made His stamp of approval, and that's the way it's going to be. But once that happens, brother, sister, one of the greatest evidences that happens is it does something into the heart of a believer. It begins to pull you, begins to make you hate what you used to like and begin to love what you used to hate. Isn't that right? You have a whole different nature. If you're the same old, same old, I have a hard time believing your experience. It changes everything about you. It changes the way you look at things. It changes the sunlight. It changes the mornings, doesn't it? It changes when you go to eat something. You think, God, you didn't have to do this. But I appreciate it. And before, man, I hope you don't just eat off Google all the time and afraid of everything, because it's all, I'm telling you right now, it's going to kill you. Yeah. 1 week coffee's going to be good for you. Next week it's going to kill you. Yeah. Isn't that right? 1 week you think you got figured out, you know, I'm supposed to do this way. And next week they change it on you. You don't have to do none of that. As a believer, you could just bow your head. Lord, if I'm ignorant, well, help me. Give me revelation. But right now, this is what I got. I thank you for it. Bless it to my body. Now, don't take a rocket scientist to realize that if you're just knocking down Cokes and eating Twinkies all the time, you're probably not going to feel great. So there's the flip side of that now. There's a part where you just get too spiritually minded, no earthly good, all right? We're still human beings, and we ought to take care of this temple. That's right. And how much more the spiritual side of it than the natural? How much more, I tell you, many people will take care of their natural bodies or go on fad after fad after fad, but won't even try nothing spiritually. They just sit and die and just don't even try to put the second effort. Amen. That's what we're getting in tonight. Once you've obtained this like precious faith, it said that God has given His power. And Hombie's going to tell me that His power can't do what He said His power would do. Amen. So don't you never limit. He's according to His power, not your power, not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit. Amen. His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So the believer can wake up in this day, especially now the revelation's been opened to you, that all things that you had need of to become the Christian you were supposed to be, that you were, was already in you the whole time. But now it's been quickened, it's come alive, and it's time to let it grow. He says, whereby, verse 4, are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Brother, sister, did you catch that? Exceeding great and precious, not even covenants, promises. And you didn't make these promises. He made these promises. That's why, brother, sister, as I just hit it on Sunday over and over, we are sown in faith, but we are grown in grace. You can only grow by God's promises. Because if at any time you begin to think, well, this could fail somewhere, retreat, brother, sister. It was His promise. Amen. It can't fail. Amen. These precious promises saying that, Lord, You said that these signs would fall them that believe. I didn't say that, Lord. You did. And once you begin to believe that, you'll watch it happen. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than this. And we think, oh, my, how's that going to be? Look, He said it. He promised it. That's the way it is. Not maybe. Not if you do real well this week. Hope you didn't come to church that way. I'm going to keep this where it's supposed to be, right down the middle of the road. Because we have exceedingly great and precious promises that by these we're partakers of the divine nature. And we know that divine nature, thank God for a message, is Christ's nature Himself. She is Him. She's got the same thing built in her that was built in the Son of God Himself. It's the same life. It's the same makeup, which means it has to do the same things, because everything, God's law from the beginning was everything will bring forth of its kind. And if you can recognize that you are His kind, there's nothing else for you to become besides a reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. That's why verse 5, actually we got to look at 4 again. So by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. Not escaping. Whew. Not growing to show that you've escaped. No, you have already escaped the corruption of the world. You're not what you used to be. You're not part of it no more. You don't want nothing. Your desires aren't in the world. You've escaped it. Why do you wake up still afraid to go to hell? Why do you wake up still letting the devil come tell you, you must have just been Judas because, you know, I saw what you did last week. Why do we do that? It's because we're so easily swayed. Brother, sister, you're trusting yourself again, and that's why you ain't growing. Those that are under the law, what are you under? You're under a curse. Well, that means we can do whatever we want, huh? Well, if you're a Christian, you can. If you're walking in the Spirit, you can. That's right, because your flesh is supposed to be dead. this is where we balance this all out, because we know that grace, you can take grace too far and make it disgrace. That's right. Or you can take grace the other way and you got to work your own salvation somehow. You say, well, the Bible says to do that with fear and trembling. Yeah, you and the Lord. Get it to where you stop doubting and you just believe His promises. Amen. Do you realize that's the only thing in your way between you and a promise is your own unbelief? Yes. Amen. Look, Christ is trying to pressure His word onto you. And I tell you what, I've watched people with their unbelief and their excuses and their, you know, they got their foot on the door. They got that baby bolt locked on the other side and they are holding that handle saying, Lord, uh-uh. It's the way I've always been. It's the way I was born. It's the way my daddy raised me. And we blame him that the door don't open. Look, he's trying to get in. If you just let go for a second, you realize he'll come right in. It's that he that opens the door to Christ. Look, everybody wants Christ to force the door open. He ain't going to do it. He's a gentleman. He'll wait on you. But aren't you glad he waited? Aren't you glad he's waiting? Some people go, oh, I can't believe we're still here. I can't believe it's 2018. Are you kidding me? How can we still be? Lord, I thought you loved me. I'm glad he waited. Yes, I'm glad he waited because I've watched what he's done in people's lives every year. I think, God, thank you. Yes. Thank you for one more. Yes, that doesn't have to go through even just a tribulation, much less eternity away from God. Man, you got to explain everything. I caught that. I don't believe in eternal hell, but you're still away from God forever. Just eventually, you just don't exist. Don't ask me to explain that. This ain't for the human mind even wrap. But why? Why doesn't it make sense? Because you always were. You can't explain not being what you've always been. That's where you came from. That's why it doesn't make sense. But when life and peace and righteousness begin to flow, what happens? That's just what I am. That's what I want to be. It's that, why? That nature was always there. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that these things have happened, this is why those that have taken, when Brother Branham preached the stature of perfect man in such a way to say that you're building up to a new birth, a real new birth, because, you know, it's just confession out of your mouth at the bottom. That's when you get faith. And brother says, I don't believe that. I don't, because I don't know how you could ever build anything in God without God in it. Except God build the house, they labor in vain. So if he's not in the house, you say, well, he's doing it to make himself. Brother, sister, you're building. We're not building a stick building. He said, you as lively stones. We are one stone. And what happens? You have one seed, right? You plant it. It grows from that. It just pulls in, but it's already got it in itself and it pushes out. It's alive. You're not a stick building that God's finding some patience and putting it in you someday. And it's already in you. It's just growing. It expands and it grows and expands and it grows. Brother, sister, what do you got to do? Brother Bram said, all you got to do is just yield to the water that falls. Isn't that right? Yield to the sunlight and let the law of God move. If it'll work for an apple tree, how much more should it work for a son of God? When you begin to listen to the word, when you get to spend time in prayer, when the light of the gospel comes and we hear testimonies, that ought to stir your heart and it ought to make you grow. Hallelujah. Now, besides this, do you see why I can't understand that? This is something that you do after that. It's not even the same part. It's now that you're born again, now that you've escaped, now that you're a partaker of God's promises, there's something I want you to take notice of. That's what I'm saying is Peter's getting to us, isn't he? It says, besides this, giving all diligence, now add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance. And we'll get to those things here. I don't know how the Lord will lead it, but I went and looked up that word diligence, and that's where I want to lay, and I couldn't get past this. Diligence, and I looked it up in Strong's. It means haste. It means earnestness. Earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after anything. To give all diligence, listen to this, interest oneself most earnestly. Do you see why this is grace? You have the choice, but he's saying give all your interest, all your care, all your promoting to this. I like how Dad brought it out before, but Jesus said this. Look, he's either got, look, not even first place. He either is your life or he's not. There is no middle ground for this. And we've preached too long the comfortable grave. Where as long as I do a couple things that this pastor says, and then after that, maybe I have to get to this brother's checklist, and I'll say, okay, now I'm good, and then, oh, we got to get to this brother. This sister came up with something I didn't have before, and we just got to keep it. As long as I keep that going, brother, I'm going to heaven. No, brother, sister. That ain't what Jesus said. Turn with me. Matthew 10, 37. All things work together for good. Praise his name. Matthew 10, 37. Then we turn into Luke, then 1 John, 2 Timothy. So stay with me. Matthew 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, is that right or is it wrong? That's where it comes down to. As I said, I appreciate the Lord leading Dad to say some of those things before service, because that's exactly where I'm going. This is his words. Oh, Jesus is kind and love, and yeah, he is, but his way. Not love is God, not you can just say whatever you determine love is, that's what God must be. No, he is the definition of love. God is love. So whatever the way God did it is what love really is. And here he's telling you, unless you love him more. And he brought it right down to the family, didn't he? Why? That's the closest thing to our hearts. He said, you're not even worthy of me. You're not worthy to receive grace. Why? Because you put another lover between you and the Lord. Well, sister, it's the hardest thing to do, but God said it. That's the way it has to be. Now look, it's not the only time. Look what else he says. Luke 14. Luke 14. And verse 25. And you can read right before this, the Great Supper demonstrates it exactly. That they were invited, they should have been part of it, because they found something else more important, they weren't counted worthy. Right. Now watch how Christ even ups this a little bit. Verse 25, he said, and there were great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Listen how he says this. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Not, I won't have him. That's what many people think. Christ is pushing you away. No, you love somebody else, so I'm going to get rid of you. No, you won't be able to be his disciple unless he's first. You will not have the ability to be his disciple unless he's got the preeminence. But once he does, then you can actually be his disciple. You can actually follow him. How do you do that? Well, I got to bear my cross. But it's so heavy, brother. Nobody knows what I'm going through. My trial's special. Bible already done called you out. It said there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. Brother Bram said many people try to give up excuses. What will happen? There'll be a witness come up out of the bride of Christ saying, I went through the same thing and I overcame. Amen. How'd you do it, brother? By his grace. Amen. I believed him. I said, Lord, you say, well, that says hate. What does hate really means to love less? He's saying the same thing. He said, if you love them more than me, he said, but you have to love them less than me. So it's the same thing he's trying to get to you. He has to be the preeminent one. No matter what anybody would say, brother, sometimes you got to come against your wife and say, look, this is what the Lord told me. I love you, but that's what he told me. Sometimes sister got to do it. I believe she submitted herself like Meaty did Brother Branham, but she still told him it was wrong to lie. Amen. And when you get of age, sometimes even a son has to say, Daddy, I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate your, but God has revealed to me what I'm supposed to do. I have to do it. That's right. Why? Because I'm putting him first. Look, no matter what, that's what the bride's coming to in this day. Why do you think there's such a pressure about that? To sell out to anyone. If he can't get you to sell out to your job, I've seen that. or sell out to your comfy living or a meal ticket or something or some fancy things of the world. He'll bring it on home, won't he? He'll come in, then he'll bring it to your family. And if he can get you to sell out there, he'll just let it stay there. If he can't get you to sell out there, he'll get you to sell out to you. And that's where you found the rich young ruler, wasn't it? He had given up everything. He did honor his father and mother. He didn't lie. He didn't steal, cheat. He obeyed the commandments. He went to church. He paid his tithes. He walked the walk. But Christ came to him and said, there's one thing you lack. You love your money more than me. And that was it. He couldn't be his disciple. Do you see? He couldn't follow him. He wanted to. He had a heart to preach to his brothers. But why couldn't he do it? Because he wasn't first. Because the Lord didn't have preeminence. He couldn't even walk in the calling that God had placed in his life. Brother, sister, there is a bride of Christ predestinated to be there. She will sacrifice all to follow the Lord. Amen. She has to.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. There's no middle grounds for this. You see why I backdropped this before I started, that we're supposed to be in his grace. Otherwise, you'd be a legalist before we got out of this room. But this isn't what it is. It's you willingly are taking your interests, your desires, your very wants. You don't have to do it. But by grace, you are saying, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I want you to have it. You are the apple of my eye. You're everything to me. Lord, as you've given me grace, unmerited favor, for all, even though I did all this, you still give me favor. I'm giving that favor right back to you, that no matter what I go through, you are precious in my, you have my favor. It's getting quiet, but it's true anyhow. 1 Peter 2:15, you know this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Hit this scripture again, you know this. Paul in 2 Timothy 3 says, perilous days will come, and he says there'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There is no middle ground. There is no sinner saint. Just one more time, Lord, 1963. Said, and I can almost point you to a church like that, helpless, defeated, and blind, rejecting the promises. Let that sink in now. That's what caused it, is they were actually rejecting the promises. Samson now. It says, rejecting the word, a church that Christ promised that would have power over sickness. In my name, they shall cast out devils, taking up a devil and casting him away. And the blessings that he's promised his church. And because the church has turned from prayer meetings and from sincerity and made the religion of Christ a tradition and has took all the strength out of it. Glamour coming to our churches, and she stands just about defeated. Oh my. There he stood, all stripped of power by a woman, just because his eyes went wanton, because some immoral Jezebel set up a system to conquer the servant of God. May I say this with reverence? There's been formed a system of Jezebel that's conquering, bringing them all into a federation, all the denominations, Pentecostals and all, into the World Council of Churches, which is no more than a trap of the devil to take away from you what you got. Then she'll laugh at you. Stripped of power by that woman. Pentecost a few years ago, no more than 50 years ago, stood out. The people stood different. They come out of different groups of worldliness because of their worldliness and stood out as an example. And God has took that church, and today it's one of the most powerful churches in the world. And the thing that she's doing, she's turned right straight back around and went to the same conglomeration that she was called out of. And when she begins to do that, her power is taken from her. Where do we get the all-night prayer meeting? Let the preacher preach till about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning like he used to do. He'd be preaching to empty seats. They got to go home and see We Love Susie or somebody on certain television casts. Now that's the truth. Why? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Our treasures ought to be in the Word. Brother, sister, give me one more thing harder to do than for you to slow down. Stop watching, stop reading, stop flipping around, stop being distracted, and just sit. Right. Let's just try this. Just sit in your chair and just think on the Lord.
Amen.
Right. And then to get the Bible out and just read the Bible.
Right.
It's such a sad thing. Look, this thing gets in my house too. We can't even turn that stupid phone off, can you? You get a nervous tantrum. What does that mean? You're addicted.
Right.
You're an addict. We want to get on the cracked addict. We want to get on the alcoholic, but we're just as addict as anybody else. That's the way we ought to be with the Word. Oh, I haven't had a hit of it in a while, brother. I got to go get my Bible. I got to read a sermon, or I got to sing me a song. I got to do something. I just need another hit. I need another stimulation. I'm getting a withdrawal symptom. Brother, sister, there ain't nothing the devil has that he didn't copy off God somewhere. And when they got to have it, they got to be there. Nothing else matters. They'll sell out their savings. They'll give away their high school education, college, throw it in the trash to have another beer, won't they? How much more ought you be able to sacrifice a bunch of trash to the world to say, I just want 5 minutes in the presence of the Lord. I want 5 minutes of listening to His Word. You say, but brother, he don't talk to me. Look, I don't even care even being spiritual. This was his word.
Amen.
For you to read it, you're hearing the words of God.
Amen.
Now, you ought to have something stronger than that. That's true. If you read this like the newspaper, you're missing the whole point. But I ain't talking to that. I'm talking to those that's been born again, been changed from death unto life. And I can't stand it, brother, sister. I don't know if you're the same way I am. I got to have the word. I've got to be in his presence. I can't stand to be away. It just shakes me. I just get nervous all the time. No, are you comfortable living in the world? Are you comfortable making mistakes? Are you comfortable out there? If you are, that's the worst position to be. I'd rather be on a bar stool than to not be affected by the sin in my life. I'd rather just throw it in the towel and say, I'm just going to be a sinner, than to say, well, I'll take on Christ's name and bring an absolute reproach to him. Hallelujah. Look, this ain't easy. I think I said it on Sunday. I'll say it one more time. I'm your pastor, not your buddy. I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, I love you. Look, I cherish this. Look, this ain't, you ain't my children. In one way, yeah, just like my children. Look, they're not my children. Your children aren't your children. This is hard many times. They're God's children. I'm only a steward to help you out as a pastor to the church. We ain't taking this with us. This is going to burn up. I don't care. Take it, Lord. I got a house on a thousand hills, or cattle on a thousand hills. I got a house made without hands. We ought to take care of it as if they were God's children when we think of our kids. If they're ours, well, I can do whatever I want with them. But when they're God's, you begin to think that's God's child. Just like a pastor ought to his children. That's what I'm trying to get to you. That's how I believe in that. I do nurture you. But I have enough to tell you the truth anyhow.
Yes.
Let me read something real quick and then I'll keep going. It's hard to say these things being the pastor yourself, but I just don't believe in being a hypocrite. I really don't. And a hypocrite is just somebody who says something they don't believe in their heart. I'd rather know where you stand and know it's wrong than for you to parrot out what you think I want to hear and in your heart you don't believe it. Amen. There's nothing worse than a bunch of yes men, and you know their heart's far from you. That's the way we make God feel many times. Oh, I know I ought to stop doing this. I know, but you know, it'll be all right. And what are you doing? You're bringing in another lover into your house. Just sneaking her in for the night. Just a couple hours. I'll let her go after that, and I'll go back to you, Lord. Oh, that got all the way up to the pulpit this time. That hurt. Whew, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. Yes, Lord. Ezekiel 33. They're after Psalms, a couple books. Ezekiel 33. If you have a Schofield like me, it's the only confusing part of the Bible where they did it a little different. I don't know why they did that, but. Brother Branham makes mention of it. That's why he wanted a Thompson chain. It's because of that part right there in Ezekiel. It's funny, but Ezekiel 33, verse 7. It said, so thou, O son of man, I've set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore shalt thou hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I'm just going to stop there. Let me read this out of Just Once More, Lord, 1963. Just one more time, Lord. So has it been with the church? God raised the church up to be a lighthouse, to let out his powers, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, cast out devils, live holy, preach the full gospel, manifest it. But we began to creep in and let down the bars. We took the wrong example. The women acted like the pastor's wife. He let her go haywire, cut off her hair, wear any kind of sexy clothes, never rebuked. And the other woman say, if Sister So-and-so can do it, I could too. Don't make that your example, see? God told you what to do. Stay with that. Amen. Now, when you do that, you fail God and you fail also his people. Failing his people. When you fail them, you fail God. God set you there to be a watchman. And when you see sin creeping in, instead of cutting the thing off, they entice it. How do they entice it? Nothing worse than when a man's in position and we know he's wrong by the word, but because we don't want to cause any troubles in the church, we don't bring it up. We ignore it. It doesn't matter that the deacon don't pay tithes. That's all right. He's a good fellow. You're not worthy to be in that position if you're doing that. That's right. Look, I said, Pastor, well, I thank God for my wife. She's a saint of God and a good example for other women. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you right now, if she went off the word, you shouldn't follow that. If I went off the word, you shouldn't follow that. There's a standard that has to be kept, and it don't need changed. It don't need updated. He said, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the Lord, and it shall change the hearts of the children back to their fathers. Even Brother Bram's family itself is not your example. The Word is your example. That'll offend a lot of people, but I don't care who he is. I don't care what pastors say, brother, you got to respect him. I respect them. I respect every man of God. I respect anybody. I respect a Baptist minister that'll stand up for the gospel. I'll stand up for any man that'll stand up for his convictions, but at the end of the day, I don't love you more than him. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't believe in respect of persons anywhere, top to the bottom. We all tote the line of the word, or we ain't worthy to call ourselves Christians. Amen. I had one time somebody thought, me and my dad and my brother at the same church thought we'd work something up, or, you know, there was a family thing. I said, there ain't no family thing. It's the word. The word that counts. You don't think I tell my brother he's wrong? If anything, I tell him before I tell somebody else. Because I know I could just be straight and I went to play no games with it. I'll just share this. Me and my dad were lifting the other day, if it helps you at all. And I told him right in the middle of was it Sunday or service before, somewhere around here last week or so. So not 20 years ago where it don't matter no more. I'm talking within a week or so ago. I said, Dad, I said this, this, and this. And I told him exactly what he was thinking. And I said, you got to quit doing that, Dad. I'm just here to tell you the truth. You know, he said, yeah, that's exactly right. Why? There ain't no compromise. There's no excuses. The best evidence you can have that you're actually serving the Lord right is you look at the word and you never have the word but come out of your mouth. It's just amen. Amen. Be holy as I am holy. Amen. Love your brother as yourself. Amen. Love your enemies. Amen. And what I read earlier, if I don't love him more than my wife, my children, my father, my mother, and even myself, I can't be his disciple. Amen. See, giving not partial diligence, not partial promoting, not partial earnest, giving all diligence. Start adding to your faith. Paul said this when he was in the book of Acts, it's 20:26, says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He said, this is going to happen. So what did he tell the believer? You've got to be more sincere. You've got to take heed. What does it mean to take heed? To think through what you're doing. To not let things just go by and act like it doesn't matter. Brother, sister, sin. Look, you might think the pastor's the one that deals with the sin in the church. But man, you need to deal with sin in your house. When it begins to creep in, you're the watchman of your house. Sister, you're supposed to be by his side. If he misses something, you better say it. Don't let it creep in. All it does is take a little fox and he spoils the whole vine. Amen. Yes. We start getting away from sincerity. Oh, it's okay to miss church for this, and it's okay to miss prayer meeting. It's okay. You're still all right. Brother, sister, if you can be there, you be there every time you can. Amen. Hallelujah. We're still to the point where we think praying for a half hour is long prayer. Right. Where? Why? We're not giving all diligence. I said we. I didn't say you. Right. I said we. If God could come to the prophet in 62 and show him the vision of the third pole coming up, what did he tell him? You must be more sincere. Yes. Brother, sister, when you go home, I want this to, I do, I want the challenge. Look, there ain't. I trust there ain't no sinners in the house of God tonight. We're people that want to serve the Lord. We're people that know better. We're people that when we go home, what's the first thing you're going to do? Is you're going to grab that phone, flick that thing, and you're going to have that thought. Do I accept the word or do I accept the devil's lie again? If you will overcome moments instead of years, you'll overcome. Everybody's going to be, oh man, I'm going to be evangelist to the whole world, brother. I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to show miracles. Oh my. But you can't overcome a 5-inch, 2-inch this way thing that only does whatever you say it should do. Overcome moments and you'll overcome. You say, well, I feel like I'm forcing it. No, if you're born again, there's no such thing as manufacturing. A sheep cannot manufacture wool. It is a sheep. That's what it does. If you are a Christian, you cannot manufacture Christianity. It is what you are. And I want to be able to stand like Paul. And I'm going to say this with sincerity in my heart. If I can't walk the line, if I will fail it, God, don't let me ever stand up and say that was okay. Don't let me ever get up and make excuses to cover my own hide. Lord, if it tears me up, down, left, right, I want to be a witness to you no matter what. That your word was pure, it was holy, it was just the way it needed to be. It can overcome 2018 just the same as any other time. Well, brother, we're just living in a dry time. It is a dry time for the world. The prophet said it's the most glorious day for the believer. But see, there you go again. Take that over there in the garbage. Amen. It's the most glorious day for me as a believer. Amen. It's all right to get excited about the word and actually praise his name. Amen. I got to wait for the right moment. Anybody have a bad moment to praise God? Tell me the time where you shouldn't praise him. Tell me a time you shouldn't glorify him. Well, that's what I'm going to do for all eternity, so I might as well get started now. You think we're going to take a break from praising the Lord? You think we're going to take a break from glorifying his name? No. Why? Because we'll finally be back where we're supposed to be. In that condition where there is no hindrances to our faith, there is no hindrance between you and the Lord. It's that perfect divine fellowship. And when that which is perfect is come, this in part will be done away. Amen. It's time. Can you hear God's voice to us? It's time to come back to real sincerity with God. It's time to come back to where we can handle the word at all times. Not when it just blasts Brother John, but I don't struggle with that. Praise the Lord. That's right. I've learned people love tough preaching as long as they ain't doing it. I've seen, and the sad part is I've seen men and sisters get the bad ends a lot of times because men will get up and rake the sisters up, down, left, right. And then the men, you know, but it's okay that I live backslid. No big deal. Why? Nobody sees it. I got my tie on. I'm a believer. I raised my hands in church. That ain't what the Bible told you to do. And not just raise them without wrath. What does that mean? I don't care about what the unbelievers are going to say about me. I'm not doing it to stick it to them. I'm doing it because I love you, Lord. And doubting. I wonder if somebody sees me right now. How many of you Bible students know that's the same scripture? For a man to pray at all times with his hands raised without wrath and doubting. In like manner also women adore themselves in modest apparel. You say, why did Brother Branham hit on women so much? Because of the spirit we're under. That's the age we live in. That's right. It's the hardest thing for a woman to submit to a man in a Laodicean spirit. You can't do it, actually. You got to be delivered from the world. You'll never do it. You never submit to a man, which means you're not going to submit to the word. You'll just do whatever your emotions tell you. Sister, Dama, that's one thing for sure. God puts you under a head for a reason. That's right. And man, he puts you under Christ for a reason. Because we can't do it either. That's right. Even Christ himself, what he said, the head of Christ is God. He said the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. And as I said before, if the virgin Son of God had to go in sincerity and pray and break through and make sure his flesh wasn't in his way, where's our excuse to say we don't need it? Or I'm past that, brother. I'm more spiritual than that. You're more spiritual than Jesus? No, sir. It's time to come back to sincerity. It's time to put our hearts, not in a legalistic way at all. Look, this blows past the life of a legalist so fast that it doesn't even compare to the believer whose heart is sold out to serving God. Legal says, well, I got to do this for a half hour. Someone that's got their heart sold out said, Lord, I'll stay here as long as you want me to. Hallelujah. Saying, I'm too tired to pray. Love in your heart for God will make you have love for his people. Says, I don't care. What do they need from me? Right. Legal said, I already did my good deed today. The believer says, I'll give and give and give because I ain't got nothing to give anyways but what he's gave me. Coming out of all things, 1962. It says, God hates powerless religion. It's got to have power in it. It's got to have sincerity. Sincerity brings power. You're looking for the power of God? It's because of a lack of sincerity. You say, well, you can be sincerely wrong. I thought you told me you had the Holy Ghost. You were separated from the escape, the corruption of the world through lust. See, I started for that with a reason. So there's no such thing as you being sincerely wrong because you're already right. If you're on the word, you're right. Now you just need to be sincerely right. We're so worried about being sincerely wrong. What are we going to be worried about being sincerely right? Amen. It's got to have sincerity. Sincerity brings power. Sincerity brings real worship. Not forms, but genuine power worship to know that you've passed from death unto life. God wants to perform his word by his power. Coming out just once more, that same just one more time, Lord, 1963. It says, now Samson knew that he did not have the strength, though he had the muscles. And we've got all the machinery. We've got the great district presbyters. We've got all the bishops. We've got the archbishops. We've got the popes. We've got the hierarchy. We got all the machinery. We got the biggest buildings and the most of the money of the earth. What good does it do us? It's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That's right. But we know we're not able to meet the challenge of the hour. Can I go ahead and apply that to us? We've got the right pastors. We've got the right buildings. We've got the right youth services. We've got the right conventions. And we've got the right camp meetings. And we've got it. We got it all set. We got the right musicians. We got the right specials. And it's all, brother, sister, that doesn't meet the challenge of the hour. If we would only be honest, well, our young people got the same stuff that the world has. It shouldn't be that way, but because we've taken the sincerity out, it starts in the parents. They took their sincerity out, went through a form. What happens to their children? They recognize that there's nothing to it. So there's no way. I'm going to say this with boldness in my heart. A real believing mother and father, your children should not be able to walk out of your house an atheist. Right. They might not serve them. You can't make them. Right. There's one thing for sure, they'll know. There is a God that lives. I've seen Him. He does things. I've seen them pray and God answers. I've seen them tell me what's going to happen before it got here. I've seen the evidence of a God in my house. And maybe I don't want to serve Him, but I know there's a God. But. Amen. Amen. We've got it all, but to meet the challenge of the hour, we need to come back to the Word again. Let me finish that quote. Samson knowed what he needed. We might turn the whole America back and every one of them go to church. We still haven't got it. Hasn't got what it takes. The disciples didn't have it till they went to Pentecost. Jesus told them they didn't have it after being preaching for 3 years. Still they needed it. The church needs it. That's right. Notice Samson knowed that he was in need. He wasn't sufficient. The denominations can't produce it. They don't vindicate the Word. They teach it against it. Yeah, you know, but Samson realizing that he was insufficient in himself, though he had all his regime, he was still insufficient. Watch him. The Philistines gloating over their victory. They never noticed him turning his head upward and his lips moving back and forth in prayer. The tears running down the sockets that he once had eyes in. They didn't notice that. It was just having too big a time. He wanted God to manifest himself again to this Jezebel. Oh, if we could have some Samsons to rise, old church. Not a new denomination, start another creed or ladder reign. We need the power of God. That's right. He was aware of what would happen if God ever answered his prayer. I want to be more sincere. Are you willing to have that prayer be answered? How many of us know as parents, there's nothing to make you get on your knees faster than a sick child? How about we just get more sincere before God has to do something like that? You're His child. He won't let you stay that way. He'll bring the pressure on to pull out what He wants out of you. You can take the easy road. Samson, I don't believe, had to go that route. He could have crushed them. He could have went right in there and pushed the pillars. Instead, he went the route of shame, didn't he? But thank God he turned it all together for good. And I don't care what shame you've been. If you'll just submit to God now, He'll turn it around for good. Amen. Come back to His power. Come back to sincerity. Let me finish where I'm at. He was aware of what would happen if God ever answered his prayer, but he was ready to face the issue. He was in dead earnest. Oh, if the church tonight would only stand in that condition, in dead earnest, knowing that you're going to have to give up everything you hold dear in this world. If men and women are ready tonight to know it's going to separate you from everything in the world. Ministers, they're going to quit patting you on the back and telling you, Dr. So-and-so, it was marvelous. Will you go swimming with us this afternoon? Take the bunco games out of the church and the races and the almost lottery. Bunco is lottery. And all these soup suppers to pay the preacher. Get back to God's system of tithing. Come back to the Word. Are you willing to do it? No, sir, they were not. You know what a price it takes. That woman will call you an old-fashioned again. God will call you blessed. Are you willing to die? That's what the trouble of it is. You want to stay alive to Hollywood, the same time be alive with God. It won't mix. A seed, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. It abides alone. You'll never bring forth anything. Oh, Jesus' name, church, what a glorious church. What a glorious name, Jesus' name. Are you ready to die? Are you Assemblies of God, General Assembly? Are you ready to die? Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and us message believers too. Are you ready to die out to your enemy? Are you willing to pay the price of sacrifice really sincerely? Not just come and say, well, I'll give it a try and see how I come out. You're not ready yet. You must be ready to pay the price and die. You fathers, you mothers, are you ready to establish an altar in your house and take that television out? Are you ready to take that deck of cards off the table? Them comic books that your children's reading, preparing the little minds for a blast that the devil's going to give them? Are you ready to establish the old family altar again? Or do you just want to continue on the way you are? You want to continue on. You're not in any condition of coming yet. But I pray that you're like Samson. You see the price and you're ready. Lord, let me die with them. He knew if God answered his prayer, what was going to cost many people. I've seen them right since I've been here. Come up at the altar and the Holy Spirit come to them and they don't want to die. Amen. They want to stay alive in the world. You can't serve two gods at the same time. Are you ready to forsake everything to serve God? Listen at him cry, Lord, only this once more. If we don't have our sincerity where it's supposed to be, brother, sister, you'll never build up yourself like the way you're supposed to. Either Satan will get a hold of you and you'll get so loose, you'll say, it's just already there, brother. I already got everything I need from heaven. No, it's not supposed to just lay there dead. It's supposed to be growing and manifesting. Or on the other side where you're trying so hard on everything to get it done right and it ain't doing nothing because you're sitting there trying to build it. It takes sincerity to say, Lord, I believe your word. I see this in my life. That ain't your word. And I've got enough sincerity. You got force in my hand. I'm getting rid of it. I'm getting rid of what takes up my time. I'm getting rid of these idols I've placed in my life. When is the message finally going to stand up to these things and say, we might not have televisions and cards, but we got television and cards. I'm not going to balance this out tonight, brother, sister, because what Satan will do with that, with the condition I'm even feeling in the room, is make you loose again. He's going to pack it with an excuse for you to get to your car and say, I'm going to do it again when I get home. Right. Instead, take the thing, burn it in the trash. I would rather you hug that mountain so close that you don't turn up another browser one more time on the internet. Right. Then to flirt with a thing and take your soul. Right. And damn what God has been doing in your life. Right. How many knows you can't witness to someone being a hypocrite? Saying even if you say the right thing, they see right through that. There's one group of people that knew who Jesus was. You knew who that was? The devil. Actually, I don't know if the devil ever said it. He said, if you be the Son of God, but his demon said it. We know who you are. Amen. Remember those sons of Sceva tried to cast some other demons out? Well, they said, we know Jesus, all right? We know Paul, but who are you? Right. Same brother. Is it possible in this day? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. There is a bride in this day. I'm going to bring it in this building. There are believers that are part of this bride who are going to accept the challenge of the hour. Who aren't afraid of what it'll cost them when they get home. Who aren't afraid what they'll have to make the decision to serve Christ when they know nobody will ever see I did this besides him. But he still saw it, and I still care what he sees. This is why Brother Branham said this, and I pray this goes home. What did he say? He was told, your thoughts are louder in heaven than your words are on earth. That's where it gets down to. God knows everything I'm thinking. He knows everything I'm wanting. And it takes all diligence to keep this thing in check, don't it? It takes all diligence to keep your heart in check and make it follow the word. But brother, sister, remember, it was his promise. It was his nature. It was his choice to save you, to elect you, to sanctify you, to fill you with power, to overcome. Amen. He is making you the bride. Amen. All he needs is your obedience. All he needs is your sincerity. And God can produce things that you would never imagine you could even do yourself. I knew this wouldn't be a shouting time, brother, sister. I'm going to tell you, we've been too soft in this message. Amen. We've been too soft. We've been too soft on ourselves and too hard on everybody else. The message does it with the denominations. A spiritual message church will do it with one that they think is carnal. But when it's all said and done, we do it to everyone else but us. Oh, man, I can see Brother Austin. I mean, okay, what were you when you were 16? I wasn't on the front row serving God with my heart. I was a hypocrite. God in His grace saved me. Pulled me out of it. See, those kids should be acting this way. What'd you do at that age? Well, I'm older than them, brother. They're older than me. They should know better. Well, yeah, you should know better too. You should know better to not judge your brother like you should. You don't want to be judged yourself, but you don't know no better. The only way to do this is to do what Paul said. Besides what God's grace has done in your life, besides that, what you need to do is give all diligence. Lord, let your word grow in me. Let your word have preeminence. Let everything in my life be to one name, to one glory, to one praise, and that's you, Lord. Let's stand together tonight. I think the only fitting song to sing right now is Make Me More Like Thee. It's 486. Key F. These songs dead. Make me more like Thee, Jesus. Make me more like Thee. Your prayer. Oh, make, Lord, hear my heart's cry. Make me more like you, Lord. Like thee. Oh, Jesus, make me more like thee. And promise, Lord Jesus, make me like you, Father. All that's in my heart, make me like you. Oh, make, Lord, I make you my example tonight.
Like thee, oh Jesus, make.
Surrender your needs, surrender your desires, surrender your wants.
Oh, give me,
Lord Jesus,
your
heart clear
that's filled
with love,
and make me more like thee. I want to
no more to give.
I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Oh, we mean it with all our souls, Lord.
Like you,
I want to give until there's just no more.
I want to love,
I want to love, love till there's just no more love.
I just want to. I want to with all my soul.
I want to get,
not even think about it,
until there's just no more.
Help me, Father.
I want to love, love till there's just no more love.
Together. Oh, Jesus.
The Lord came to the prophet one time and rebuked him. He said, why do I always got to push you? Why do I always got to make you do these things? He said, them apostles, I just did the littlest nod and they went and did what I told them to do. How much more us in this day, brother, sister, does God continuously have to force us to do the right thing, continuously push and pull and beg us to come up to His Word. I'm just going to say, Lord, even though I find myself in that case, I find myself somewhere in between, but Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Lord. I don't want to be this way. I know You've given me Your favor, Lord. I know I'm Your child by Your grace, but Lord, I know I ought to serve You better than this. I know there's a walk. There's a desire in my heart for a closer walk with You. And I know that means there has to be one. Oh, God bless you, brothers and sisters. God, we said, how do I pray, brother? Here's why. You're trying to make it a form. Don't do that. Just tell them the truth. Lord, I get up in the morning. I don't even want to pray. I barely, if I even make it to my knees, I'm just there to take a pre-nap before I go to church or go to work today. Lord, I'm just going through the motions. I'm not really even thinking about You. Lord, I just got my own agenda. But Father, not, Lord, don't let me do that again. Don't let me do that, Lord. I've been busy with this, and I got a job, and I know I got to pay the bills. But Lord, I've been giving it too much of my heart, and I'm not giving You my heart. Lord, I love my family, and I want to take care of them. But when I look at it, I'm not loving them like I should. I'm not leading them to the Word. I'm just pacifying. I'm dealing with them. I just go through these things just to get it done. And Lord, I shouldn't be doing that. Brother Brandon, we ended on, you fathers and mothers, us fathers and mothers, I'm one too. I'm going to say, Lord, I need to establish the family altar back in the house again. Lord, there's just too many idols in Your way, and I don't want to just play with them. I don't want to leave one hidden in the corner. Lord, let me root them all out. That my children would realize that the whole world might be dreaded in hypocrisy and lukewarmness, but Sodom stops at the door. In this house, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saying, Brother Andrew, all I can do is raise my hand. Praise the Lord. Surrender now. Just surrender it. Don't take the burden back. That's not how you get it. Be sincere and watch Him pour that power and that strength into your heart to be able to do these things. When the choice comes, yes, it's time to say, Lord, I need to make the right choice. Lord, I have the power. I know I do. When we were in the world, we didn't have the power, did we? That sin came, you did it. That beer was there, you drank it. That opportunity came, you just had to do it. But now, you've got power over it. That don't mean He took your choice away. And we're choosing the flesh, and you're saying, Lord, tonight, with all that's in my heart, I want to lay that down. I want to lay that down. God bless you, brother, sister. He sees that. He sees your hands from the back to the front, from the littlest one to the oldest of us. He knows your desire. Can we just take a moment and yield ourselves to His presence? Say, Lord, fill my life from top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Fill my day from the moment I lay my head till I lay it down again the next day. May everything I do be because You told me to, Lord. May the way I walk be because the Word's in me. And I'm following that Word every step of the way. Oh, hallelujah. I'll make it say, I'm tired of the Lord having to force me to do things. I'm tired of the Lord having to be so patient with me. I'm tired of being the one sheep that keeps leaving the fold all the time. And I think just for a day or two, I'd like to be one of the 99 that just stay where they're supposed to be. Say, Lord, that's me. I wander too much, but Lord, I'm raising my hands to surrender. I don't want to be like Cain and wandering around. I want to be like a believer with my foot on the rock, Christ Jesus, that when the storms of life will come, they're going to come. There'll be grievous wolves trying to get in the church. There'll be all kinds of people trying to tell me wrong things. But Lord, if I could just put my feet on the rock and just let them attach to You, Lord, and never let anything sway me, Lord, I can stand the test of time. Oh, why? You're not trusting in time no more, brother. When you're trusting in the Word, you're trusting in eternity, which cannot fail. Thank You, Father. Lord Jesus, as some have fallen to their knees, as others raise their hands, as those, I believe every heart in here is being as sincere as we know how to be. And our prayer, Lord, tonight, first, just forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of all our unbelief. We cast our unbelief, we cast our sins, we cast our iniquities into Your blood. Father, we're sorry. Take it far from us, Lord. And by Your Spirit, we open up our hearts. We open up our hearts to You, Lord, that Your presence can come into our lives in the fullness that You deserve, Lord. You deserve every breath we have. You deserve every word, every thought. You deserve to have the preeminence, Lord. And we want to give it to You as living sacrifices tonight. Lord, I see so many sincere. My heart's on the altar. We know God don't want a lamb on the altar in this day. He don't want church on the altar. He don't want a form on the altar. He wants us on the altar. And Lord, we lay down our lives on Your altar tonight. Lord, let us die with our sins. Let us die with our iniquities. Let us die with our enemy, that we might be raised incorruptible, that we might be raised only by the Word of God. Lord, when we make mistakes, God, let something stir in our hearts. Even tonight, may that fire be lit again to repent quickly, to come to the Word, to make wrongs right, and just follow You in sincerity. Not make any more excuses. We pray, Lord, that You tie our tongues to excuses. And Lord, loose it only to the Word. You that know every thought, every desire, every prayer in this place. Lord Jesus, I believe You've led me to preach this Word. This Word's tore me up just the same. I believe You led it, Lord, but now I pray that the Spirit of God will water that Word, that we'll be able to put our finger on tonight, on Wednesday night, Valentine's Day, Lord. We fell in love with You again afresh. We had our Valentine with You. The world's going through pagan rituals and all these things and a bunch of frolic. But Lord, we're coming to You with sincerity and in truth. We're coming to You with a pure heart. We're coming to You to dedicate ourselves once again to the cause. We know You've called us out of darkness. We thank You for this marvelous message You've given to us, the light to shine to our path that we know how to walk. Lord, it means more than everything to us. Pray, Lord, we put our noses back in the Word and off Facebook, off things of this life, off the cares of this fallen world, and put it back in Your Word. We pray that our legs wouldn't be swift to walk, to frolic, but swift to fall in prayer. That, Lord, our mouths wouldn't be so quick to complain, so quick to judge, so quick to praise the enemy for his works in his last days. Will they be quick to give You praise, be quick to answer prayers, to be quick to sing songs to Your glory. Father God, we're here tonight to establish our church altar, which is us, Lord. Establish us the true altar of God. Lord, I pray it spread from here tonight into every home, that every man and woman be able to establish the altar. Lord, may fathers and mothers begin to pray together again. Not just in form, but breakthrough prayer. May children know what it's like to be in the Spirit of God. Not just at church, but at home. May there be such a presence of your being. Just like you are here now, Lord. I thank you for being here tonight. But Lord, may we recognize that you want to be manifested the same in our houses. The same in our individual walks. But Lord, as your word said, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Lord, it's not you that's been wrong. It's not your word that needs changed. It's not your opinion that doesn't meet the times. Lord, it's us. Lord, cut us loose to every love of this life. Cut us loose to where our hearts have been chained down by the world. And let your word take its rightful place in the throne of our hearts. Lord, I know there's many needs on the hearts of the people of God. But we all know if we could just have that kernel of sincerity to really serve you with a pure heart, then it'll be easy to have faith for these other needs. We'll be in the right channel that you can move through and answer prayer. Lord, that's all you're waiting on. You're not waiting on our works. You're not waiting on us to earn it. You're waiting on us to just follow you by grace.
Follow you with a pure heart. Help us tonight. David prayed, Lord,
Lord, you've delivered me every single time I've asked, and I go back and pick the thing up.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm just done talking tonight. Thank you, Jesus. How many knows you're in the presence of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. How many knows what he wants from you? And how many's willing just to give it to him tonight? I'm just going to let Dad sing that tonight. But I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with each one of us individually as long as he needs fit here. I feel
feel that pull. Get out of my way. I'm here to talk to my children. Thank you, Jesus. You're in His presence. That's all you need to know. You're in His presence. Whatever you need from Him, you need to talk to Him about it. Whatever He says, I say as a servant of God, just do it. He'll never steer you wrong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, just commit this word and this church into your hands. Move on every heart just the way you'd please. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you need to be dismissed, you can. If you'd like to stay in prayer, you're welcome to. God bless you, saints. Lord, we'll see you on Sunday. Just